The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
Now, the US has imposed sanctions on Turkey in response to the Turkish invasion of northern Syria. The move comes days after President Donald Trump made the decision to withdraw US forces, which facilitated the Turkish invasion of northern Syria. Here is Vice President Mike Pence explaining how they're responding to the Turks, who were in turn responding to the green light from President Trump.
The sanctions that were announced today will continue and will worsen unless and until Turkey embraces an immediate ceasefire, stops the violence, and agrees to negotiate a long-term settlement of the issues along the border between Turkey and Syria.
Well, if you think that the U.S. president's behavior in this regard is absolutely crazy, you're at one with former U.S. vice president and challenger to Trump in 2020, Joe Biden.
What in God's name is this man doing? What is he doing to our security? What is he doing to NATO? What is he doing? It is a shame. It's shameful what he's done. And the best of my knowledge, from all the sources I have or in the intelligence community before, people have worked with me, leaders in the foreign policy community, there was no consultation with the military. This is outrageous.
Well, what's happened as a result of the Turkish incursion into Syria is that many of the Kurdish soldiers who were guarding ISIS fighters can no longer devote themselves to that task because they're heading off to confront those invading Turkish forces. And this has resulted in hundreds of Islamic State fighters and families escaping. One of those who appears to have escaped the Kurdish custody is Irish woman Lisa Smith. And we're going now to Norma Costello, who is on the line. Norma, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, tell me what you know of the current whereabouts of Lisa Smith.
Well, we have no idea where she is. We do know that she left the camp. We do know that they're somewhere on the move. I would assume they're moving north because that border is quite porous, because obviously now we have a case where Turkish-backed factions and mainly populated by jihadists, you know, or like you're dealing with a lot of very impoverished young men with not a whole lot going on, who are institutionalized by years of violence to be desensitized completely to what they're doing. But that means that, the border is quite flexible at the moment. So if I was in her position, I would leave the camp and head directly towards Turkey.
How likely is she to get into Turkey with her daughter? Because, I mean, Erdogan's plan is to actually deposit some 2 million Syrian refugees back into Syria, irrespective of Lisa Smith's citizenship of the Irish Republic. I mean, is she likely to be let in, given her demeanor, her dress, and her attitude?
Well, it's a porous border. So, you know, there's an offensive going on at the moment on the border. So, you know, within the chaos, like, weaknesses in security infrastructure can easily be exploited. So it would be, you know, now would be an opportune time for anybody to try and cross that border than it was, let's say, a week ago, when the region was incredibly stable, and you had the SDF running that region and you had Turkey on the other side and the lines were drawn. Now it's chaos, you know.
So she will slip into Turkey by and large if she gets to the border.
If she can
just
make
walk
it to
across.
The border.
Now, you've spoken with her family. Have they heard anything at all?
Not yet. The family have heard nothing, which is quite unusual, because we know that other women who were housed in the camp with her have reached out and made contact to family members. But that's not necessarily, you know, I think people could jump to conclusions and think the worst. But from what I'm hearing, a lot of the people who were in the annex made it out alive. So they weren't killed. That's what I'm hearing from Kurdish sources who were kind of in the region of Ain Issa at that time during the chaos. You see, what happened was the Turkish-backed fraction started to shell that area and started to shell parts of the camp. And then the SDF, who were guarding the camp at the time, removed their fighters, which they had warned, you know, they had said, if Turkey crosses the border and starts this offensive against us, we will be forced to pull our fighters who are guarding ISIS prisons and guarding ISIS camps away from that to repel, you know, the Turkish offensive. And that's exactly what happened. So then you had panic and you had chaos and you had people screaming and families running. Then later on, after, let's say, the family element of it had moved out, you had people, ISIS members, fighting in the camp against, now we know that regime have entered the region. So you had ISIS fighting, at that time SDF, and from what I'm hearing this morning, regime have that region now.
The question of who makes up the Turkish incursion force, I mean, these, it appears, are not, strictly speaking, regular Turkish forces.
Well, Turkey, like, I mean, it's important to contextualize this as well. Turkey has deployed this type of tactic before. We saw it in the southeast, where they will use sort of groups. There, a lot of them are mercenaries that are paid a pittance to fight for Turkey. And they will use factions of like the old FSA, who would be, you know, pro-jihadists. I mean, we've seen some brutal videos come out of this. A lot of like foreign commentators are really shocked by the graphic images of, you know, we saw a Kurdish female politician being killed and dragged out of her car. And people, I think people in the West are really shocked by this, but I've covered the war in the Southeast, so these images aren't as graphic as what was going on there, you know. So they're being promised money. They're being told that they're killing the infidels, that they are killing, you know, the non-believers. And this, you know, this kind of, let's say, the combination of these two factors is attractive. And you have to remember as well, you're dealing with a lot of young men who've lost everything, who are traumatized by years of war, who have, you know, all they have to fight for really sometimes is their beliefs, you know.
Now, back to Lisa Smith's family. You've spoken with them. Are they angry at the government for its handling of Lisa Smith's situation?
I spoke to her father yesterday and he was furious. And her sister was saying that, you know, they're not, the government, we were told in March that she would be repatriated. Leo Varadkar then made, it seems like every time I visited Syria and interviewed her, Leo Varadkar came out and said, yes, we're working on repatriating her. And then when I would follow up with my own work saying, okay, guys, well, when is this going to happen and what do you plan to do? It was radio silence, you know. So I think what they did was they said it and then they realized the political ramifications of saying, you know, that you're going to repatriate people, because obviously it's a, you know, it's not a very expedient move to say you're going to take back jihadists who have traveled to Syria twice and managed to avoid our security services, and to take them back and repatriate them with no legislation in place to try them or to bring them to any form of justice. And I think they froze. And I think,
although it was revealed the other day that Lisa Smith is being investigated and there are charges under legislation that she could face.
I'm just going to make a comment here. I published a story in the Sunday Times that Sunday, which showed Lisa holding weapons, you know, and I found it kind of interesting that the assistant commissioner then, that the period of time he said that they were launching the investigation against Lisa, the period they were investigating, happened to coincide exactly with the photos that I've published. Now, I have information on Lisa previous to that, so I thought that that was interesting. I said, well, how deep are these guys going if their investigation seems to start at the exact point that my, you know, research, with my published research has said. So frankly, I don't think they will be able to do much. I think they can question her. I think they can possibly hold her or detain her for a while. But like, in order to prove that vacuum between 2015 to 2019, when she was with the Islamic State, like, they're going to need documents, they're going to need a lot more evidence. I'm trying to find out what happened in that period. And I know that the burden of proof for me is not the same as it would be for a court. And for a court, you know, it's impossible. Like, I would be, and especially if they can't do it in countries like the UK, in countries like France, in countries like Germany, where, you know, they have big Islamic populations, they've dealt with this for a long time, then why should Ireland be a forerunner of this, you know?
Now, for you, reporting on Syria, now that the Kurds are being displaced, now the regime will come and presumably put a stop to the continuing Turkish incursion. But your way into Syria was through Kurdish sources. What will happen to you now? Can you go back into Syria?
Well, we're being told conflicting things. Like, so every sort of foreign correspondent who has written about Syria during the, you know, the course of the Syrian civil war, who criticized the regime, left the minute that they heard that the regime were coming in. You know, everybody left, because we were granted an awful lot of protection, an awful lot of autonomy under the Syrian Democratic Forces. So we were safe, you know, and we were free to operate. But obviously with the regime, there's a lot of people with who have published maybe on the chemical attacks, who have published on Sednaya, who have written reports on all different types of human rights abuses, who will no longer be able to report there. If the regime take the border. Now, we are also being told by the Kurds, no, stay, guys. The agreement that we made with them will not cover the entire region, and that, you know, you can stay with us and we will protect you and all of this. But everybody left because, frankly, you know, the Kurds have had to go in on the bended knee now because they wanted to spare their people a genocide. And they were abandoned and betrayed by every single international partner who promised to stay with them and essentially use them as a tool to keep their own country safe from ISIS.
All right, Norma, thank you very much for that update. Norma Costello on the latest we surmise about the presence or whereabouts of Lisa Smith.